Happy New Year and welcome to the first show of 2010 here on the Gaelic Hour on Chin 97.9 FM. We're going to ramp things up slowly this year and build into things, and we're going to share with you this morning the story of the Children of Lir, which is an Irish legend. And this is put together by Irish-Canadian multi-instrumentalist and composer Loretta Reid, and she has created a truly original work of an Irish traditional tale, and it appeals to everybody. So we'll be sharing that with you in this morning's program, to fill you in some of the things that are coming along during the month. We will, on the second Sunday, next Sunday, we will have some of the Irish organizations update you on what their plans are for 2010. And then on the 17th, Gail Gavin will be here in studio with me. On the 24th, we will talk about the Burns traditions, the Burns suppers, etc. And then at the last Sunday, we'll fill you on that as the month goes on. But some of the regular things, don't forget there are Irish language and dance classes on Monday evenings put on by Cultus at Blessed Sacrament of 194 4th Avenue. And also the Sons of Scotland Pipe Band, they have their free beginner drum lessons, and they're on Monday evenings. And on Tuesdays, the Irish Society Seniors Drop-In gets back underway at St. Margaret Mary's at Sunnyside in Fairburn at 11 a.m, running till about 2. And of course on Tuesdays also, the Ottawa Celtic Choir Practice is at St. John the Evangelist Church at Somerset and Elgin. Wednesdays sees Irish Set and Ceilidh Dance Classes at Villa Marconi, 1026 Baseline Road, and that again is also under the auspices of Cultus. And on Fridays, starting on the 8th, I think it is, this coming Friday, the Ottawa Gaels Winter League gets underway at the Algonquin Dome. You can get full details of that if you go to my website, thegaelicour.ca, and click on the calendar. It'll give you all the contact information, etc. And it would have been in the newsletter that I just sent out. This program is brought to you in part by the generous support that we receive from the Heart and Crown and the Monterey Inn Resort. Without their help, we would not be on the air. The other thing I must mention is that the Rose of Tralee, we are searching for the 2010 Ottawa Rose, and the young lady selected will travel to Ireland to represent Ottawa between the 3rd and the 7th of June, and her flight will be taken care of, and she will be getting some clothing and other wonderful allowances and presents to help her along her way. Anybody that knows of a young lady between the ages of 18 and 28 that may be interested and suitable, drop onto the website www.roseoftralee.ca, and you can find all the details there. She will be selected on the 14th of March during the Ottawa Irish Festival. But now, for the Children of Lir.
In the beginning, before humanity knew the one God, there were men and women too, who were thought to be lesser gods. Truth to tell, many of them had extraordinary powers, though not all of them used their powers for good. Yet there were a few who labored to make their world a better place and their people happy. In Ireland, one such leader was the great king, Bóv. Bóv had two daughters. Eve, the elder, was famed throughout the land, as much for goodness as for her radiant beauty. Of her younger sister, Aoife, less was known, though she too was handsome. And it came to pass that many men sought the hand of the lovely princess, for men were as moved by beauty then as now. Only one suitor won the heart of Eve, however, the handsome Lir, chieftain of the Tua de Danann. Thank you.
King Bove addressed the company at his daughter's wedding. A fond father's blessing on you both. Where's the music, music? Oh, dance, everyone. Rejoice with me that my daughter is wed.
Journey. Are you not happy for me?
And Aoife replied, You have done well. Lear is a man any woman would welcome. Don't look so downcast. You will have a husband like Lear one day, and I will dance at your wedding. Lear, I'm coming. And Aoife says, There is no man like Lear, and you, sister, have him.
And a year later, there was great joy, for Eve bore a daughter to Lear, whom they called Finola. All of their people celebrated, for Eve had won the hearts of Lear's people. Less than 2 years later, a double cause for jubilation came. Eve bore healthy twin sons, Fiacra and Conn. The people felt truly blessed, and Lear's happiness knew no bounds. Yet this happiness was short-lived. When the twins were only 5, Eve fell victim to a raging fever.
Finola, I know you are but 7. Nonetheless, You will have to care for your brothers.
No, Mother. You aren't going to die. We need you.
I am being called away by a power greater than any of us. Remember, I love you. Take care of Fiachra and Khan. Your father will need you to.
Mother. Mother.
She is gone, child. And this land is the poorer for her passing.
I can't believe Eve is dead. 3 years since her death, and I can still hardly face the days that lie before me. Only my children comfort me, for I see Eve in them, especially in Fionnuala.
Lyra, I have shared your grief, for she was my daughter before she was your wife. Yet, for the sake of your people, you must be strong. And for the sake of your children, you must marry again.
There can be no one for me but Eve.
Oh, Lyr, there is one who is very like her. Her sister, Aoife. Aoife has refused all suitors, and I believe that she is in love with you. With my free will, I gave to you one daughter. Now, with all my heart, I offer you my other daughter. For who is more fit to raise Eve's children than her sister?
Lear, reluctant at first, was persuaded by the needs of his children. There was a resemblance between the sisters in face and voice. And in his imagination, he could pretend to be reunited with his wife.
May all joy and contentment be with you, and my grandchildren with you as well. Welcome, your new mother.
Welcome to our family.
There must be music. Let the dancing begin.
You're so sad, Father.
I'm not sad, Fionnuala. I just remembered that your grandfather called for music in the same way when I married your mother. Be good to Aoife, children. For it is not easy to come to a marriage where there are already children.
We'll do our best. Now, Father, dance.
Why is he talking to his children now? I am his wife. This should be my day.
Aoife, shall we dance? Everyone is waiting for us to lead off.
Yes, Lear. Let us dance then.
I'll be away today, Aoife. I promised the children that I would walk with them in the woods. I love their questions. Fiachra has a new one every minute. And Khan can never have enough of the wilderness. I could leave Fionnuala with you for company if you wish.
She wouldn't want to miss time with her father.
Truth to tell, I don't want to miss time with her either. I'll see you later then.
Yet, you don't mind missing time with me, husband.
There was no denying that Lear's affections went to his children first. Oh, Aoife could not complain that he mistreated or ignored her, for he was always courteous and gentle. But he did not love her with the fierce passion with which she loved him. Even when she had heard of her sister's death, Aoife's first thought had been that Lear was now free. Aoife's passion for Lear was so strong that she wanted all of him. Jealousy of the children grew sharp and sour within her. What right did they have that was stronger than her own need? and the venom worked within her, poisoning her every thought.
I'll never have him while his children live. No, not while they live. Yet, children have died ere now. Fionnuala, call your brothers. I have a surprise for you all. Fiacra, Con, I'm here. So am I. Why did you call us?
I asked your sister to call you. Your father left last night with the border patrol, as you know.
It suddenly came to me that you might enjoy a trip to see your grandfather, Bob. When can we go? We haven't seen Grandfather since the fall fair. He'll be pleased to see us too.
But though her brothers raced around the fort in high spirits, Fionnuala felt no joy. For she had dreamed the same dream 3 nights running, and in the dream, her mother spoke to her.
Oh, Fionnuala, you are all in great danger. Do not trust Aoife. Do not, my child. Fear her.
Yet Fionnuala did not know if the voice was truly her mother or if the dreams were to be heeded. Still, she spoke to her brothers.
I think we should not go to see Grandfather until Father returns. But that could be months. You know there is trouble on the borders. Father may be detained for who knows how long. Oh, please, please let's go, Fionnuala. It is so dull here when Father is away. Grandfather's court is always so lively.
Their pleading was more than Fionnuala could bear, and she couldn't disappoint them on the strength of a dream alone. The next day, Aoife and the children set off in an enormous war chariot, pulled by 4 jet-black horses and driven by the largest man they had ever seen. They traveled without rest for hours, and then came the storm.
Madam, we'll have to find shelter. The children will be drenched. Drive on. We'll not stop until Loch Derravarra.
When Fionnuala heard the icy command in Aoife's voice, she feared the dream had not lied. The thunder crashed and lightning streaked in fiery trails across the sky. The winds howled while the mighty horses lurched on. Wildness was everywhere.
There's the loch, to your left, through the pass. Oh, we'll make it. The children will be safe.
I don't want them safe. I want them dead. You are to drown them in the loch. I command it.
You're mad. I'll never touch a hair on their heads. You dare not harm Lir's children.
Stop the chariot. Now, driver, take
your horses off to drink and leave us be. But see us now. Or would you rather face my magic?
No.
As Aoife raised her hands to cast a spell, the terrified driver first backed away, then turned and ran. Fionnuala and her brothers drew back from the terrifying spectacle of their stepmother. In their fear, they stepped into the shallow waters of the loch's edge.
I cannot kill you myself, but I can ensure that you will never come between Lir and me again.
Aoife's hands flashed, and the children's bodies began to soften and their shapes distort. And where three children had stood, now floated three white swans.
As swans, you will dwell for 300 years in this loch. A further 300 years in the Sea of Moyle. And a final 300 years on Inish Glora in the desolate ocean.
Can nothing save us? When you hear a holy bell ringing and seek it out, the spell will be broken.
I've left you your sweet voices to bring others joy and that one hope.
Irish village in the heart of the Byward Market had its humble beginnings in 1992 with the now famous Heart and Crown, a second venue, the Snug Pub, since 1997. And then there's Mother McGinty's and Roisin Dubh, Black Rose, since 2001. They complete the Irish village, each a treasure in its own way. Visit the Irish village. We can accommodate groups of all sizes, private seating areas, spacious patios, and party rooms. Tell us about your special event and we will take care of the rest. 613-562-0674. The Monterey Inn is your premier choice for an exceptional stay in a resort setting along the Rideau River, close to the airport and a short journey to the nation's capital. The Monterey Inn offers a host of features for the discerning visitor that includes meeting and conference facilities, an outdoor heated pool, and a fitness center. Drop in and enjoy the fine dining experience of La Bodega Lounge. The Monterey Inn at 2259 Prince of Wales Drive, 613-288-3500 or www.monterey.ca.
CJLL Chi Radio Ottawa, by popular demand, is proud to present the 2010 Chi Radio Winter Picnic. There's truly something for everyone this next winter at the Chin Winter Picnic, a great all-inclusive vacation in the Mayan Riviera at the Sandals Catacall Beach and Spa Resort, located just 10 minutes from Playa del Carmen at the edge of an exotic jungle. Looking for a classy getaway in a secluded oceanfront paradise? Or a family adventure with kids' activities, sailing, and snorkeling? The 2010 Chin Winter Picnic offers all of this and more along along with 6 excellent restaurants, nightly shows, and comfortable accommodations beside a great beach. In partnership with Signature Vacations and Sky Service. From February 5th to February 12th, 2009, with a non-stop direct flight from Ottawa to the Mayan Riviera, the vacation of your dreams at a low, low price. Don't delay. Book today with Ports of Call Travel Services at 613-238-2400, extension 230-221 and 222. 613-238-2400, extension 230-221 and 222. See you there.
Sponsored by Unico, bringing real taste home. Park and Fly Ottawa. Gabriel's Pizza. Aditech Printing and Design.
Welcome back to the Gaelic Hour here on Chin 97.9 FM with Austin Camerton. And we now return to the legend, the Children of Lir.
The next day, Aoife and the children set off in an enormous war chariot, pulled by 4 jet-black horses and driven by the largest man they had ever seen. They travelled without rest for hours, and then came the storm.
Madam, we'll have to find shelter. The children will be drenched. Drive on. We'll not stop until Loch Derravarra.
When Fionnuala heard the icy command in Aoife's voice, she feared the dream had not lied. The thunder crashed and lightning streaked in fiery trails across the sky. The winds howled while the mighty horses lurched on. Wildness was everywhere.
There's the lock, to your left, through the pass. Oh, we'll make it. The children will be safe. I don't want them safe. I want them dead. You are to drown them in the lock. I command it. You're mad. I'll never touch a hair on their heads. You dare not harm Lir's children. Stop the chariot. Now, driver, take your horses off to drink and leave us be. But leave us! Now! Or would you rather face my magic?
No!
As Aoife raised her hands to cast a spell, the terrified driver first backed away, then turned and ran. Fionnuala and her brothers drew back from the terrifying spectacle of their stepmother. In their fear, they stepped into the shallow waters of the loch's edge.
I cannot kill you myself. But I can ensure that you will never come between Lir and me again.
Aoife's hands flashed, and the children's bodies began to soften and their shapes distort. And where 3 children had stood, now floated 3 white swans.
As swans, you will dwell for 300 years in this loch. A further 300 years in the Sea of Moyle. And a final 300 years on Inish Glora in the desolate ocean.
Can nothing save us?
When you hear a holy bell ringing and seek it out, the spell will be broken. I've left you your sweet voices to bring others joy and that one hope.
When Aoife arrived at her father's court, Bov asked after his grandchildren, but Aoife was evasive. He called the chariot driver to him.
Where are my grandchildren?
Oh, sire, I dare not say what I have seen. Who will believe me?
Bov drew the news out of the frightened man. When he heard the terrible tale, Bov knew that the man spoke truly. Bov called Aoife to him, and in her defiant face, read the guilt that now shamed his house.
You have used your power to wreak great evil. Demon woman you have become, and demon you shall be.
Though Aoife waved her hands to deflect the spell, Bov's magic was far more powerful. Soon her body was racked with seizures, and the horrified court looked on as Aoife was transformed into a hideous dragon. The stench of sulfur was everywhere. Then suddenly the dragon, who had once been Aoife, rose into the air and flew howling away. When his dragon daughter had vanished, Bov sent the doleful news to Lir and rushed to Loch Derivara. There his heart nearly broke when he heard the weeping of his three grandchildren. Through his tear-dimmed eyes, he could make out the forms of three swans. He called to them.
Oh, my precious grandchildren!
Grandfather! Can you help us?
I cannot undo the spell. Not even Aoife, if she were still alive, could reverse such a spell. Oh, great wickedness she has cast upon you, and... Lir, you've come quickly. But too late to save my children. Fionnuala.
Fiacre. Connor, my lovely children, you were all I had since your mother died.
Oh, this is all my fault. I meant such good when I urged you to marry Aoife. Lir, I cannot stand the pain.
No, I am the one to blame. I should have realized...
I should never have left the children.
The children became distressed at the grief of the two men they loved the most in all the world.
Con, Fiacre,
let us sing away their pain.
Thank you.
And so indeed it happened that, as the children sang, their father and grandfather became still, and their hearts eased somewhat. For that was the one kindness Aoife had done. No one could hear the sweetness of their voices without feeling peace within. The years passed, and Lear came often to visit his children, as did Bove. But, as mortal men, though their lifespan was longer than most, first Bove died, and then, many years after, Lear came no more, for he too passed on. Yet there were always others who came to see and hear the legendary swans. Time passed, as time always does. Eventually, 3 centuries faded into the past, and Finola, Fiacra, and Conn felt a call that would not be denied. On one sparkling, clear morning, they rose on their wings and flew in search of their next home. As the evening sky began to gather into darkness, the wind began to wail, and a deep chill set into the 3 travelers. Soon they were frozen clear through, and then the tugging brought them earthward on icebound wings to the dread Sea of Moyle, a watery wasteland between the coasts of Ireland and Scotland.
Finola, we cannot last in this. We'll surely die, but at least be free of this curse.
Come, huddle closer together.
We can warm each other and ride out the storm.
True to her words, they did survive. It was a pitiful seascape they inhabited, but every time they tried to leave, they found they could not. Fiacra and Conn were inconsolable, but whenever they plumbed the depths of their depression, Finola, in her love for them, would sing, and their hearts awakened once again. Soon winter bowed to spring, and they found that people came, and once again warmth entered their bones. Yet every winter the ice and sleet returned, and humans could come no more. And so it went for another 300 turnings, until an irresistible urge forced them to rise again into the air. As they flew, an overwhelming sadness came upon them. They were being drawn away from Ireland and Scotland towards a storm-tossed coast off the island of Inishglora in the raging Atlantic Ocean. Here there were no mortals, and nothing but desolation and howling elements. Yet on good days, few though there were, seals and terns came to cheer them with acrobatic tumbling and turnings. Throughout all the years that followed, they somehow bore their pain and isolation. Yet 2 things bothered them most of all. One was the distant memory of their home, now surely turned to dust and decay. The other was the distress at seeing brave sailors lost off the terrible coast of Inishglora. They managed to save 1 sailor by forming a net with their wings and bearing him to the island. He lived with them for many years. One day, Finola asked,
"Have you ever heard the ringing of a holy bell?"
"Why, every day on land I heard such a bell."
"What is it, this bell?"
Slowly, he told them the story of Christ, his miracles, his death, resurrection, and the promise of eternal life. They pondered what the sailor told them, and questioned him often. Life was better for a while, until the sailor too grew old and died. They were alone once more, but with a new hope. It came to pass that a simple priest, Kemmock by name, came to the west coast of Ireland, spreading the gospel news and gathering a small community about him. He heard a tale of marvelous swans who sang in voices of unearthly beauty. Indeed, some of the fishermen who were part of his small flock claimed to have seen them, though only at a distance. He was troubled in his spirit by such news, for he had been raised near the shores of Loch Derravara. There, when he was a child, his grandmother, a pious woman, had told him the tale of the swan children of Lear.
Good people, we have built a house where we can worship the Lord. Now is the time to build a tower and to cast a bell so that it may ring out the good news far and wide.
Thank you.
That evening, Kemmock was startled to see three great swans come winging over the sea towards him. He first drew back as they settled to earth, and then, breathing a prayer, stepped towards them.
Are you the swan children of Lir?
Yes. We are Lir's children. We've come to you at last. We have endured time beyond belief.
And as she spoke, the swan's feathers dropped from them. In a few moments, there stood before Kemmock three incredibly ancient beings.
We come to ask two things of you. First, we crave the privilege of baptism.
Oh, surely, I will do as you ask. What is the second thing you need?
I am Khan. Our hats have been moved at the terrible sight of sailors needlessly shipwrecked on Inishglora's coast.
And I am Fiacla.
Could there be a tower built to house a great light to show sailors where safety lies? A hard time is not long, and we have not the strength to do this deed. But if it could be done, then we shall not have suffered in vain. And much good may come of the great evil that has stolen our lives.
I am moved by your heartfelt plea. It shall be done as you ask. Now, I will baptize you, for I fear that your time is indeed short.
When the water was sprinkled on the three, and the prayers prayed over them, they suddenly took on a more youthful appearance. Turning, they embraced each other. Suddenly, their features began to move, faster and faster. Their bodies started to whirl and then faded to a silvery dust caught by the wind and blown gleaming across the land.
May God hold you in his bosom. I will honor your request with God's help. We will honor your request. My people, we have been moved by the Spirit of God to build this great beacon of light. Let us dedicate this tower and the safety it promises to the memory of the bravery and compassion of the three souls who inspired it. Whenever there is a storm or a ship in peril, we who light this beacon are only living hands moved by their unconquerable spirit. Their doom they bore, and their debts they accepted. Great was their spirit, and great the gift they left behind.
And legend has it that when the beacon fought against the blackest nights, its light seemed only to grow stronger. A beacon of hope, a light of faith, offering salvation to all wayfarers.